Today, my guest is Mark Buettner from AmboDot. He is the director, and it's always full of activities. Mark, I'll let you start with your full agenda.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Yeah, we're very excited looking at the 2024 activities that we have planned for AmboDot. Obviously, fisheries is a key area that we have work that we're doing. We're in the process of constructing three additional rearing ponds for our CHWAM and COP2 program. And so those are under construction. We have a water supply well that was just drilled. So that will provide water for those additional ponds. Our crew is also modifying our hatchery building to provide more space for pond harvest and tagging, data collection, and treatments on the fish that we harvest out of our ponds. So that activity is underway. We're also initiating discussions with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife regarding the salmon reintroduction program. Obviously, we're currently in the process, basin-wide, of removing the four dams on the Klamath River, and expect salmon to be returning to the Klamath homeland in the near future. So we're assisting Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife with that reintroduction. The initial stages that we're involved in is kind of evaluating some techniques to reintroduce the spring Chinook salmon, which we're not expecting those strains to repopulate on their own. So that's going to require some hatchery rearing activities. So there's been a couple years of studies where they've taken fish from the Trinity River hatchery, gotten eggs, and reared them here in the Klamath hatchery in Fort Klamath area, and then released up to 10,000 fish per year in some of the tributaries to Upper Klamath Lake to evaluate their survival and success, which will help guide future rearing activities to reintroduce the salmon into the upper basin. We're preparing for our 2024 sucker rearing program to collect sucker larvae out of the Williamson River and Sprague River, and also making egg collections from fish that we spawn that are at the Eastside Springs, and potentially COP2 or short-nosed suckers that we capture out of the river. Of course, the COP2 are the species that are in serious decline. We only have a few thousand fish left in the adult population, so we need to actively increase our rearing activities to help them on the road to improving their status in the lake. So this next year, we have a goal to release approximately 10,000 7 to 10 inch CHWAM and COP2. And that's our current goal for the next, per year in the coming future. And we currently have 18,000 fish at our station. So we have a lot of fish that are growing to reach those target sizes. So, Ken, another major activity of the AmboDot department is our restoration program. We're really pleased to have a nine-person restoration team that is working on the tribe's Hog Creek property, restoring meadow and stream channel habitats and removing encroached lodgepole pine on over 115 acres of land that we've treated so far. So, we're really really proud of our team and the accomplishments they're making in the tribal homeland. The restoration team is also planning additional restoration projects on several streams for the upcoming year, including on Long Creek, Dry Creek, and Blue Creek, which are located on Green Diamond, Forest Service, and Nature Conservancy properties. We're also assisting with habitat restoration planning and implementation on private lands in the Sprague River Basin with several private landowners that have ranches along the river. Another project is installing livestock watering wells on tribal ranch landowner properties to keep cattle away from riparian areas and streams. So we're glad to finally get that going this year. Another program that we have at AMBODOT is our hydrology program. For the last approximately 5 years, our hydrologist and hydrologic technician have been monitoring surface and groundwater in that Klamath Marsh area to assess water availability and opportunities to increase marsh levels and stream flows in that area. In recent years, there's been little or no water coming out of the marsh going down the Williamson River down to Upper Klamath Lake. So we're trying to assess what the cause of that decline is, and are there activities that we can implement to increase both the water levels in the marsh and river flows in the Williamson River. The hydrologist has also installed a number of shallow groundwater wells on Hog Creek Ranch and Rocky Ford Ranch, both properties owned by the Klamath tribes. And the intent of that is to monitor changes in groundwater levels related to upcoming and currently occurring habitat restoration activities. Our goal with the restoration projects is to reconnect floodplains, increase groundwater levels, and overall increase water availability in the Upper Klamath Basin. We also have a water quality crew that's been monitoring water quality conditions in our streams in the Upper Klamath Basin as well as Upper Klamath Lake for 20 plus years for the rivers and 30 plus years for Upper Klamath Lake. So the crew is continuing to monitor approximately 20 tributary locations in the Wood River Valley, on the Sprague River and Williamson Rivers. This type of water quality monitoring occurs every 2 weeks and then also during high flow events to give us some baseline information on water quality conditions in these tributaries and to assess changes related to climate change, restoration activities, and land use practices. The water quality crew is also participating in a study to assess the potential to capture sediment and nutrients from the Sprague and Williamson Rivers at the Nature Conservancy's Williamson River Delta Preserve. And the purpose of that is to capture sediment and nutrients so they don't directly flow into Upper Klamath Lake, contributing to the poor water quality conditions that occur there and the toxic algae blooms that occur every summer. The other program that we have at AMBODOT is the Sprague River Water Quality Lab. This lab has been in operation for approximately 15 years, and the lab analyzes environmental water quality samples for the tribe's water quality program and multiple external clients, including other tribes and agencies. The lab has had a major increase in water samples analyzed for clients related to the Klamath Dam removal project. So we're learning quite a bit about changes in water quality in the Klamath River as a result of, you know, the dam removal and restoration activities. Another activity that we're involved in is ESA, Endangered Species Act compliance. So we participate in coordinating and consulting with some of the federal agencies that deal with Endangered Species Act regulation. Of course, in our area, we have the Klamath Irrigation Project, which diverts water out of Upper Klamath Lake and some of the other lakes. And so we are participating in a process to identify the appropriate water allocations and water needs for protection of the Upper Klamath Lake environment and assisting with the protection and recovery of our Chuam and Coptu. So that's kind of an overview of our program, Ken. So if you have any additional questions or comments, I'd be glad to answer them.
Well, when you were going back to the Chuam and Coptu, we were at a symposium a couple of weeks ago that you attended and I attended. I was surprised to see how much research in different agencies, federal, state, county, are involved in trying to protect and replenish the Chuam and Coptu in the Upper Klamath Lake. How long has this been going on? I mean, have these agencies been involved for this long? And there was a wealth of information that was shared. Yeah. I'm not sure if I came out of it thinking that Chuam and Coptu still have a chance or not.
Yeah, it's been a long history, basically dating back to before the Chuam and Coptu were listed as endangered species in the late 80s. Both species were listed in 1988. And, of course, the Klamath tribes and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife had been monitoring their populations even before the listing, starting in the early 80s, and observed, you know, major reductions in their numbers and alerted the agencies responsible for protection and recovery. And that led to the listing. And as a result of the listing, there was a lot of resources and effort put into better understanding what the limiting factors were that were impacting the survival and health of the Chuam and Coptu populations. And the studies and investigations and restoration activities just accelerated beginning in, you know, basically in the late 80s, and have continued to expand as we've continued to see declines in the populations. And a lot of the information that we're gathering has not resulted in turning the corner of getting the fish back on the road to recovery. So, you know, there's just been additional efforts to further clarify what the limiting factors are and try to get us, you know, moving in the right direction in terms of, you know, restoring the fishery and getting the fish to recruit into the, you know, the natural populations in the lake.
Water levels seem to be the critical factor. Without healthy water and good levels, they don't have a chance.
Yeah, the obviously, the Klamath tribes have worked with a number of consultants and their own staff to assess the habitat and water level needs of the Chuam and Coptu over a number of years, many, many studies to characterize the importance of different areas, habitat types that different life stages of the Chuam and Coptu use in the lake, and come up with a, you know, the optimal way to manage the lake in order to provide better success for their survival. For example, in the early spring, you know, the goal is to try to fill Upper Klamath Lake and inundate a lot of the shoreline spawning areas that they use, and also to inundate the emergent vegetation that the larval fish use during that early life stage. And then as the season progresses, we have additional needs to provide habitat for juvenile fish in the emergent vegetation, and also to help minimize the risk of poor water quality conditions. And then towards the end of the summer season, there are certain water levels in the lake that protect areas where the fish can seek out for water quality refuges in areas like Pelican Bay, where there's a lot of springs. We need adequate water depths to allow those fish to go to those different areas. So, yeah, water levels are definitely very important. And, of course, as I mentioned, Klamath Lake, Upper Klamath Lake, is a major water supply for the Klamath Irrigation District. It also provides water supplies for the National Wildlife Refuges and river flows for the Klamath River supporting salmon species. So a lot of competing needs for a very limited water supply. And it's been really challenging in recent years because of ongoing drought. And there appears to be, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, a shift in our water cycles to where we're seeing a lot less water in the basin, you know, a lot less precipitation, snow contributing to, you know, our systems.
The year shaping up this winter is looking kind of dry. Snowfall has been too big. It's been an off year. We have an El Nino, I think, that's causing some warm weather that is. So we're looking at a challenging spring and summer for the Chuam and Kop too. Will this be more challenging than, let's say, last year?
At this point in time, we have a very low snowpack, which is concerning because the snowpack is essentially another storage supply or reservoir, and it, you know, contributes to the overall water budget. So right now, the snowpack is quite low. Even though the Upper Klamath Lake, you know, we've had the warmer winter weather and a fair amount of precipitation that has allowed the lake to recharge to some extent. But with the low snowpack, you know, unless we see some significant improvement in late winter and in spring precipitation and snowfall, you know, we could have very challenging water year, which would be, you know, much more challenging than we saw last year. Was a pretty good year, but prior to that, we had three very dry years, which were all very difficult.
The Chuam and Kop just seem to be on the radar of most environmentalists, scientists, biologists. With its importance to the ecosystem, because what are they, like a canary in the coal mine, so to speak?
That I think that's a good characterization. You know, they are at a in a situation where they are a species that is fairly tolerant to environmental degradation and disturbance. So the fact that they have continued to decline for so long is a good indication as to the health of the ecosystem, particularly Upper Klamath Lake, where they spend the majority of their time. So, yeah, I would say they are a good, you know, indicator of our, you know, ecosystem health in the lake and tributaries.
Did you come out of the symposium with hope and optimism? What was your take on everything you heard? Because it was quite a wealth of information. It gives you a good idea of where things are at.
Yeah, my main takeaway was that the species of Chuam and Kop are still at a serious situation in terms of their potential for extinction or extirpation in Upper Klamath Lake. You know, the numbers have continued to decline for the last 30 years. We see no recruitment. And the success of our hatchery program, which is supposed to help us stave off extinction until we restore the environments that they live in, you know, the results are still not clear as to whether we can stabilize the fish populations with our hatchery rearing programs at this time. There's some preliminary results that some of the scientists believe that the hatchery is likely to at least, you know, keep the fish from going extinct, but not produce enough numbers and have a good enough survival to really kind of move the needle for the species.
Yeah, well, if they fail, then it will impact other creatures in the Upper Klamath Lake that fed on them in the past. They are a food source, not only for people, but other animals and fish,
right.
Birds. They mentioned a lot of the predation of birds. They naturally go after them.
Right, yeah. You know, the Klamath Basin has very large populations of different water birds, you know, pelicans and cormorants and other species of predaceous birds that utilize the chuam and koptu as well as other fish. So, you know, there's, with the continued decline of the chuam and koptu, you know, it does have those, indirect effects on other species, like you'd mentioned, including the birds and probably other fish and other organisms that are interrelated and with the native fish.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will continue watching and hoping for the best. Thank you, Mark Buettner, director of AmboDOT. They mentioned you at the symposium too, as you were one of the first real people to go out there and do the research.
Yeah, I've been involved in working with these species since 1986, so been around for a while. Sure would like to see them moving towards the road to recovery.
Very good. Thank you, Mark Buettner, AmboDOT director here at the Klamath Trail.